Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, author and prophecy teacher Jeff Kinley will begin a brand new series exploring the end of the world according to Jesus. Then a little later, Greg Patton will share the exciting details on our upcoming Define the Demonic event taking place September 7th. Friends, we have been sharing with you our financial needs this summer, and God heard us. We ask, and you are responding. Today, I'm excited to announce a very special $100,000 matching gift opportunity. Thanks to the generosity of a group of supporters, beginning right now through September 30th, every dollar given to Southwest Radio Ministries will be matched. Your gifts will be doubled up to $100,000. So right now, your gift of any amount will go twice as far. You can give at our website, swrc.com, or by calling 1-800-652-1144. Thank you for your continued support of Watchmen on the Wall and Southwest Radio Ministries. Josh Davis and Jeff Kinley are ready to begin a brand new series exploring the end of the world according to Jesus.
I'm excited today to be joined by author Jeff Kinley as we discuss his new book, The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth, as it explains Matthew chapter 24 and 25, known as Jesus' Olivet Discourse. And we're going to be hearing what Jesus had to say about the last days. You don't want to miss the program today or tomorrow as we explore these very crucial subjects for the day that we live in. Jeff, we are excited to welcome you back to Watchmen on the Wall.
Thank you so much, Josh. Great to be back with you.
So why is it so crucial that we understand what Jesus said about the last days, understand his perspective on these kinds of things?
Well, that's a great question. I begin the book by basically asking that question. Why is Jesus' version of the end times so important for us to know? And so I sort of lay a foundation in the book of who is this Jesus of Nazareth and why should we pay attention to his version of end time events? And so kind of present the case of the character of Christ, his words, his witness, his works, and establish the fact that he indeed is the Son of God, obviously proving that by rising from the dead. So if he's God in human flesh and everything he said in the New Testament is obviously then true, then what he has to say about the end times is of paramount importance to us, especially as we're living in these times.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, some Christians like to say things like, well, just be like Jesus, you know, what would Jesus do? And those bracelets are coming back around, the WWJD bracelets. I noticed some teenagers that I've ministered to in recent years, that's picked back up again. Jesus spoke about Bible prophecy in great detail, but there are some churches today that are just absolutely silent on Bible prophecy. If we want to be like Jesus, what should be our role and what should be our view of Bible prophecy, speaking on it in the local church?
Just to consider, first of all, that some 28% of the Bible was prophetic at the time that it was written. It seems to be God's pattern really throughout the ages to always give us a heads up on history, to let his people know what's coming. Certainly did that in the Old Testament with the coming of Christ. And then both the Old Testament and the New Testament, Josh, what we find is that God tells us what's going to happen at the end of time. And that's very, very important because Christ in the last Wednesday before he was arrested on Thursday night, he spent a significant amount of time talking with his disciples about the end times. In fact, he did that several times with them, but this more so than other times. And then we see throughout the rest of the New Testament, there's just so many verses about Bible prophecy, and some 500 prophecies have yet to be fulfilled. So there's a lot of things in the scripture about the end times, about prophecy. And of course, as we're closing in on these actual fulfillments that Jesus spoke about, that becomes all the more important. So we don't want to be like the Pharisees who stared the signs of the end times of their times right in the face when they saw Jesus and ignored it. We want to be like those Bereans to search the scriptures to find out if these things are true. So I think Bible prophecy is important because it gives us clarity and confidence in these very difficult, confusing days.
I agree with you 100%, and I believe that it's an urgent message that we need to be proclaiming. the truth that is contained in your book as you teach through this powerful passage of Scripture. Again, the book is The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth, and we're visiting with author Jeff Kinley. And it seems like a lot of people get confused on some of the prophetic terminology, last days, the rapture, some of these kinds of things, especially that one, last days. Can you define, how does the Scripture use last days? Is that a reference to the Great Tribulation, for instance, or what's going on with that phrase, last days?
Yeah, so when you look at, like, when John wrote his epistle in 1 John 2:18, he said, little children, it's the last hour. And so John certainly thought he was living in the last days in the first century. And so I think the last days really cover the entire period from Christ's ascension to his return at the rapture. Specifically, the end times, I think, refers probably more so to the tribulation period, although there's, you can have some debate on that. But we're certainly living in the last days. The question then becomes, what part of the last days are we living in? Mm-hmm. We're in the first part of the last days or the last part. And as we see kind of Bible prophecy emerging and converging all around us, it certainly does give us indication that storm clouds are gathering and that we're seeing the signs of the tribulation even begin to appear in various forms right now. So that's a, I think that's one of God's clues to kind of help us to know where we are on the timeline.
And you mentioned the word tribulation there. So are we in that period known as the Great Tribulation? How do we distinguish between the last days and what is leading up to the Great Tribulation and whether or not we're in the Great Tribulation right now?
Now, that's a really good question because there are some people who think we're sort of in that time right now.
Right.
I would argue that from Daniel 9:27, that last seven-year period, that last week of Daniel that he talks about begins with a signing of a peace covenant between Antichrist and Israel. And that sort of, that starts officially God's prophetic clock in that seven-year period. So I would argue that we're not exactly in the tribulation period right now. We're just accelerating with greater rapidity towards that time. But we are certainly ramping up to it. So I think when we get into this passage here with Matthew 24, I think Christ is talking specifically about those last 7 years of tribulation. But I'd also make a distinction between this too, Josh. So Jesus said that as Christians, we will have tribulation. But even Christ makes a distinction in John 16 and then in Matthew 24 between tribulation, which is kind of general turmoil and persecution, and the tribulation, which Scripture sort of puts bookends on. It begins with the Antichrist peace treaty. It ends with the second coming of Christ.
And I had an author recently try to challenge me on that point to say, look at what this verse says. Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation. But that was exactly what I replied to him. It doesn't say the great tribulation. It's talking about the trouble, the turmoil, the strife that we go through. And that's a great thing that we need to really differentiate between. Friends, we're visiting with author Jeff Kinley as we're discussing The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth, a new book. And you can pick up a copy if you'd like to on our website, swrc.com, or you can call us, 1-800-652-1144. Now, getting into Matthew 24 and 25, what did Jesus prophesy would happen in the last days? What are some of the things that he talks about as he begins? And maybe you want to set the stage for us. What caused Jesus to begin this message in Matthew 24 and 25 in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. So they're on the Temple Mount. Jesus is there with his disciples, and they're admiring the great ornaments of the temple and how lovely the buildings are. And Jesus sort of put a pin in their bubble and burst it and said, look, there's not going to be one stone of this temple left upon another which will not be torn down. It's very interesting because if you go to the Temple Mount today, you can see some of those stones of the Temple Mount that have fallen over the back of the western wall there. They're still there 2,000 years later after the Roman general Titus rode through that area and destroyed it. But in answer to that question, he said the temple's going to be destroyed. And so, you know, fast forward just a few minutes later, they find themselves sitting on the Mount of Olives with Christ, and Peter, James, John, and Andrew come and sit down beside him. And they ask him this question. They said, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? What's very interesting is that in the Matthew's gospel, Jesus doesn't actually answer that first question, you know, when exactly will these things be? But he does address the the second part of the question, which is, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And I think what's very important for people to understand about Matthew 24 is that Christ is not just throwing a generic apocalyptic net over the end times and saying, hey, this is what it's going to be like, you know, for everybody. But he specifically addresses the question that these Jewish men ask this Jewish rabbi named Jesus about a Jewish apocalypse. What's going to happen to the Jews in the end times? Because in their mind, the end of the age and the coming of the Messiah were the same thing. As the Messiah would come and establish his kingdom, it would officially end the age that they're in and begin a new age. And that's why you see many of his disciples asking him, Lord, is this time you're going to bring in your kingdom? I mean, you're going to, the Messiah is going to come and he's going to overthrow the Roman government. He's going to set up his kingdom on the earth. So they were wondering, you know, is this going to be the time you're going to do that? So Jesus is answering that specific question about what it's going to be like for the Jewish people in the end times. And the very first thing he says, Josh, is see to it that no one misleads you. And I find that very curious because you would think Christ would just launch into, okay, here's the first thing that's going to happen, here's the second thing. But the first thing he does is to prepare them for really the atmosphere of the end times. And right now, we're in that atmosphere right now where people are talking about the end times and that type of thing. And what I find to be interesting is that a lot of people have a lot of different views, a lot of different perspectives on the end times. And some of them, quite frankly, I think are misleading. And this is exactly what Christ said would happen in, at the end of the age, is that there's going to be many will come in my name, he says, and claim to be the Christ. There'll be false teachers and false prophets that will arise. So I think the first thing we need to establish about the whole discussion of the end times is to be biblically discerning, is to make sure that we know what the Bible says, so that when someone comes in with a headline, a TikTok video, a YouTube video, whatever, and claims something, we can hold up the scripture and say, wait a minute, did God say that would happen in that way during this particular time? And so that helps us, you know, not have fear. It helps us not be confused. And as Paul said to the Thessalonians, not be disturbed even in your faith and shaken in your belief system. So the first thing we need to do is to make sure that we are paying attention to, number one, the scripture, and number two, trusted, established, scholarly voices that can speak the Bible with great clarity. So that's the first thing he does. And then basically he launches into what we see happening in the first part of Revelation chapter 6, where the tribulation begins with peace, with the false Christ, with wars and rumors of wars, and then it just goes on, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and it pretty much parallels what Christ gave John in Revelation 6.
You know, sometimes people begin to look at the news, they look at the headlines like you were just mentioning, and then they try to read that back into Scripture, and that's how they develop their eschatology and their theology of what's going to happen and when it comes to Bible prophecy and those kinds of things. What's the proper approach and why is that such a bad practice?
That's a great question. Yeah, it's sometimes we call that newspaper exegesis or headline prophecy, that type of thing, and where we just look at something as happening in the world. It certainly does seem apocalyptic or nefarious or antichrist-like, and it's not that there might not be a similarity or a parallel in the Scripture,
certainly,
but it's just that we have to begin with the Scripture first, not with the headlines out there. And I kind of think of it this way, is that the Scripture is like a pair of glasses we put on that enables us to sort of see in the dark, if you will, like those night vision goggles that the Navy SEALs have. They can detect heat signatures. They can see what nobody else can see. Why? Because they've got the glasses on. Well, when you wear the goggles, if you will, of Scripture, and Scripture's in our minds and our thoughts, and we're reading the world through Scripture instead of reading the Scripture through the world. So it's completely flipped the script, if you will. And that's one thing we have to be aware of. And listen, you could go to the headlines today and find 30 or 40 different things that could be similar to things that the Bible says are going on. Some of them may be true. Some of them may be foreshadows of prophecies that are emerging. But a lot of times people will attach, I think, biblical significance to things that are just a part of the age that we're living in. So we just have to be real careful about that and kind of tread with caution, with a sense of sobriety and reverence as we talk about Scripture and prophecy in particular.
Yes, and I think that's very wise advice. Friends, we're visiting with author Jeff Kinley. And Jeff, what's a great way that people can connect with you and your ministry?
Yeah, just jeffkinley.com is the best way to go find me and my books and my ministry.
Okay. Well, friends, we're visiting with Jeff Kinley and discussing The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth. If you'd like to pick up a copy, you can visit swrc.com or give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. Now, another big sticking point when it comes to Matthew 24 and 25 is some argue, oh, all those things were fulfilled in the past. Some say, as we've been talking about, this being fulfilled right now, we're in the Great Tribulation, and some still hold to a futurist perspective that the majority of the things discussed in the passage will be fulfilled still in the future from where we are in the present day. How do we make those kinds of decisions? How do we make those kinds of determinations as we're walking through the text of Matthew 24 and 25?
That's a great question. I think what we have to do is look at Scripture and see, what is God's pattern? God's pattern with prophecy is to fulfill Scripture and prophecy specifically, literally, and exactly as written. We see that with the first coming of Christ, and we certainly should expect it with the second coming. So when people say that these things were fulfilled, for example, in 70 AD, which is certainly a part of the beginning of their question, which Christ answers over in Luke 21, he talks about the destruction of the temple. Daniel prophesied about the people of the prince who was to come, speaking of Antichrist, and certainly there are foreshadows of that with Antiochus Epiphanes in 167 BC, who did some of the things that the Antichrist will eventually do. Of course, Jesus looked at these prophecies as being something that would be at the end of the age. Mm-hmm. So when we see what Jesus says here, and people say these things have already been fulfilled, when you go through this list of what he says here and what he says in Revelation 6 through 18, we can't find one-to-one parallels to these events. In other words, there hasn't been a 666. There hasn't been an Antichrist. There haven't been 100-pound hailstones and meteors falling from the sky and the earth going black and Babylon being rebuilt. We haven't seen all these things happen. So logically, that tells us with a reasonable approach to Scripture that these things must still be in the future. Now, certainly there have been similar things. There have certainly been wars and rumors of wars, but in the context of the end times and in the context of a reborn nation of Israel, we've never had that until now. And so that's one of the really the sound arguments against what's called preterism, or the belief that these events have already happened. Mm-hmm. Another error I think that people make with this, Josh, is that they look at Revelation, at Jesus' words, and they sort of, you know, lay this blanket of symbolism over it. Yes. And just kind of extract principles from it, rather, instead of really taking Jesus at his word. I love what Dr. Tim LaHaye used to say when he said, listen, if the plain sense of Scripture makes sense, seek no other sense, lest you end up with nonsense. Mm-hmm. And God tends to mean what he says and says what he means. So I think we can take these things at face value and just say, look, these things haven't happened in the past, so they must therefore still be future.
And Jesus himself had a literal approach to understanding Scripture. You know, he believed that Noah was a literal person, that Jonah mm-hmm. was a literal person, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he continues to unpack some of those things as he relates it to his own self. And we see that he took those people as being actual literal people who did exist at a point in history. And yet some people want to allegorize Scripture and they rip it away from the way that Jesus understood Scripture himself. And I think that has a great implication for us when it comes to understanding Bible prophecy. Friends, we are visiting with author Jeff Kinley as we are continuing to discuss Matthew chapter 24 and 25. Jeff, what about the rapture? Do you see the rapture in Matthew 24 and 25?
Yeah, well, I don't see the rapture in these two chapters, and the reason for that is not because there isn't a rapture, but because Christ is specifically addressing two questions that his disciples ask him about the Jewish brethren that'll be a part of these last days. Now, the very next day, the very next evening, Jesus does address the rapture with them in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. But I talk about in the book how it's like if you were at an office meeting and the director of the office comes in and he says, listen, we need to get things in order here. And all of a sudden, you know, three employees leave the office and go start, you know, getting their desks in order. And he says, hey, what are you doing? And they say, well, we're getting our desk in order. And he's going, look, I wasn't even talking to you. I was talking over here in the marketing department. You guys are in over here in production. So I got a whole nother message for you. So just hang on. So the whole idea of the rapture was really a mystery in this particular context. So Christ is addressing a Jewish apocalypse. He's talking about what's going to happen during the tribulation. But he will get to the rapture, but he does that the next evening at the Last Supper.
And Lord willing, we'll be discussing that passage as we continue on in tomorrow's program. And friends, we encourage you to pick up a copy of this wonderful book, The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth, written by Jeff Kinley, who's been our guest today. You can visit swrc.com or give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. Or you can visit jeffkinley.com to connect with Jeff. He hosts some wonderful podcasts, The Prophecy Pros, Vintage Truth. Also is on television channels with his channel TV shows, Jeff Kinley Live and The King is Coming. And all of that can be found at jeffkinley.com. Jeff, we are excited to continue this important discussion on tomorrow's program.
Looking forward to it, Josh.
Jeff Kinley has much more insight to share on Jesus' teaching on the end of the world, and it's all coming up on our next program. Jeff Kinley's brand new book entitled The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth is today's featured resource. Why talk about end times doomsday subjects? Because Jesus spoke about them and in great detail. For that reason alone, we should pay attention. And as we rapidly approach the last days, his message is more relevant to us than ever. The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth takes you to the definitive authority on the future, Christ himself, for a clear understanding of what will take place, when it will happen, and how God desires for us to be prepared. The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth by Jeff Kinley. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Or you can order on our website, swrc.com. In this inspiring and approachable guide, Jeff provides you with clear biblical answers about what is to come. Jesus revealed the future not only for his followers, but for all of humanity, that we may turn to him for salvation, live in hope, and be ready for his glorious return. The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth by Jeff Kinley. 1-800-652-1144. Our next in-person event is coming up Saturday, September 7th, Defying the Demonic, a one-day intensive experience hosted by SWRC and featuring Dr. Greg Patton and Dr. Ken Copley. With the details of this very special event, here is Dr. Greg Patton.
Well, thank you, Matthew. I want to share about 80 years of spiritual warfare. It's all about defying the demonic and your path to spiritual freedom. Saturday, September the 7th. The Master Demonic Counselor, Dr. Ken Copley, and myself, it's going to be a blessing. We have the privilege of sharing thoughts throughout the day on Saturday at Antioch Baptist Church. Pastor Brad Davis, Pastor Josh Davis, blessing us with their church facilities that day. You know, when you're in a battle, before you can march out against that enemy and do battle, you have to know who he is. It's called gathering intelligence. You need to know how he operates in this old world, where his base of operation is, what his tactics are. You have to be able to identify him in all circumstances. And while we certainly have a number of earthly enemies, they are not the enemy about whom we must be most concerned with. Oh no, your adversary. Peter clearly states it's the devil. He's the root of all evil. He is relentlessly engaged in a strategy to bring you down. He has deceptive stealth. He's like a roaring lion, according to 1 Peter 5:8, seeking whom he may devour. And unfortunately, that's the majority of people in any church in America. Last time I checked, hunters called the lion king of the beast. The last time I did an investigation on Satan, he was the highest of all angelic creatures. And though he fell from that exalted position due to his pride, he didn't lose any of his brilliance. And make no mistake about it, when the highest of God's angelic creatures fell, he instantly rolled up his sleeves and entered into conflict with a divine plan that goes on today. He's good. No, he's great at what he does. Small wonder that we're told, be of sober spirit. There's a war going on. Once we identify the enemy, understand his ways, we realize the world's a battleground, not a playground. It's a battleship and not a cruise ship. You've heard that before. Dr. Copley and I are going to share three messages each. They will be brief, but they will be very much to the point. We're excited about the opportunity. Humanity without Jesus Christ is totally depraved. The world will lead you directly away from the things of God rather than toward God. Satan, prince and power of the air. We are facing hardships and conflicts and trials like none of us would ever have imagined in our lifetime. The battle cry, "The hour is late, give no place to the enemy." Everything God's people love, Satan hates. For instance, he hates your Christian marriage. Chances are very good that more marriages are in conflict in these stressful days than any time in history. Chances are you've got troubles in your family, more than usual. Perhaps one of your children in open rebellion. If you're not there yet, it's just because they're not old enough. It's only a matter of time, my friend. Why? Our adversary hates harmony in the family. When you and Almighty God are on the same page, the enemy hates it. Dr. Copley and I want to share a Saturday with you. That'll be at Antioch Baptist Church starting at 9 o'clock. Doors open at 8. Southwest Radio Church bringing you Defying the Demonic. Both of our newest books and videos will be there, plus the syllabus that we're going to use throughout the day. SWRC.com, 1-800-652-1144. Again, contact him, SWRC.com to register, or 1-800-652-1144. Saturday, September 7th. Looking forward to a great day together, and we pray that there'll be great victory in Jesus, sharing many things you've never heard before and a battle plan for the future. Be with us, my friend. Southwest brings you Defying the Demonic. Join us September 7th, Antioch Baptist Church in Bristol, Virginia.
Make sure you order today's featured resource, Jeff Kinley's brand new book, The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth. Centering on the Olivet Discourse in Matthew's Gospel, best-selling author Jeff Kinley examines Jesus' words in their original context, providing clear and engaging overviews of the tribulation, the Antichrist, the Second Coming, the judgments, and Jesus' invitations to believers and unbelievers. The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth by Jeff Kinley. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order at our website, swrc.com. Tomorrow, Jeff Kinley continues his study on the end of the world according to Jesus. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.